And we are recording right now.
Oh, okay, good. Hi.
Hello.
Do we know if the sound is right? I mean, because we not even have headphones on. Okay. Let me try to adjust the microphone. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Jeff. It is Sunday, because you were sick yesterday.
Yeah, I always felt shitty all day.
And you still went out to a beer event.
That was Friday night.
Oh.
That was Friday night. That wasn't. I can't imagine I was hungover all day.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much I can blame, but I threw up like midday, and I don't think the beer from the night before could make me throw up midday. I couldn't even sit at the table and play with Legos with the kids. I had to lay down.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you said I was like, sure.
Whatever. This morning I woke up feeling quite chipper, so just a one-day thing.
Cool.
Or worst hangover ever, one or the other.
You didn't take your yeast.
I didn't eat my yeast.
I have one of these things that when I went to D&D last Friday, I went to the dollar store to get little trinkets. Yeah, these are those little puzzles. I have a love-hate relationship with these little puzzles because, you're on to it.
I know how to solve it, right? Yeah, I just got to figure out how to solve this one.
Yeah. This is it's two loops, basically. It's two metal loops, and... The annoying part is figuring out, because you play with it and you eventually sort of figure out exactly how it works, mm-hmm. but it takes a while to figure out, wait, okay, how did I do that again? How did I exactly do that?
Yeah, like I can't find the match point here.
Yeah, I'll show you. It's real simple. So what you do is you take these and you match them up so they're... It's kind of annoying to get to the right point, but come on.
You figure there can't be that there many angles to get it in.
So it's like that. Uh-huh. And then as you twist this over, you kind of... You do this thing where you... You change the geometry slightly. And that'll work. Right. If I can get it to... There it is.
Okay, yeah.
So... It's a neat little thing once you figure it out.
Then once you do it once, it's more fun.
Once you can, I mean, you do it once because you're just sort of playing with it. And you don't realize what you did,
right?
And so you have to kind of figure out what the heck I did. What did I do? And just you get playing, and finally you learn. Okay, this is how it. Yeah, this is how it works. $1 at the dollar store. Not a bad little toy for a little time.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I wish I got more mileage out of that nut one, the nut and bolt one, right?
Yeah.
But after you did it a couple times, because the way it works, as people try to work it, they wear it out, and it gets easier and easier. So we were talking about a couple different things. Let's start with your laptop.
Yeah, so the laptop that I have fritzed out on me somehow.
This one didn't go in the bathtub?
No, this one didn't go in the bathtub. It just stopped working. Definitely the battery is part of the issue, because it won't turn on with the battery inside of it.
That is pretty neat. It just kind of flops out like that.
Yeah. The other thing is, though, that when I removed the battery, and you know, it turned on, it started up, but then it didn't find the hard drive. So it could be a hard drive thing, and he said getting a hard drive out of those things is ridiculous, so I may just have to go with a Chromebook and just, you know, go with that, which is fine for me. I think that it's... I had a Porsche for a while, like I said. I had a MacBook Air, which was a great machine, and that went into the bathtub. I managed to... Santa gave me a gift and got me an older MacBook that would, you know, still did the job, and it was great to have that. But it may cost a lot of money to fix that issue. It seems like the motherboard is okay because it's starting up.
Right.
But...
Yeah, if you could... if you can make a CD, or if you have the install media, boot off the USB, and just boot into, like, the... They have a rescue utility environment.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get into there and things seem to be mostly okay, maybe it is worth putting an SSD in that thing. It's...
Yeah. I mean, it runs pretty well other than that. I mean, it runs as well as my old MacBook Air did, really.
I mean, I could put the hard drive in, but I mean, it's probably going to take most of an hour to replace the hard drive on that son of a bitch. So.
Yeah. So we'll see. I do have a media that has actually... that I can boot up with. It's a USB like 32 gig that I can just put in there and boot up with. So we'll see. It's something to consider. If not, I'm thinking about a Chromebook just because I think it's sort of the easiest way to keep having the ability to do what I do and just...
The both my parents are on Chromebooks now. I think I mentioned last week or the week before that my dad's computer fritzed out. I tried replacing the hard drive. And it's to the point where it's like either the power supply or the motherboard or, you know, it's like, and it's, it was a $300 computer when we first got it anyway. So it's hardly worth working on now, trying to figure out, you know, spending money buying a power supply and finding out it's not the power supply. That would suck, right?
Yes.
So, got my mom a new Chromebook, got her the 14-inch HP, which is probably the one you'd be looking at getting.
That, I mean, I did a quick search online, and I saw that one. I was like $350 or something like that. It was a decent price for...
Yeah, as far as I know, there's four. I think there's only... Well, there's four Chrome laptops, and then there's the Chromebox, which is a desktop unit, right?
Right.
There's an Acer, a Samsung, HP, and then the Google Pixel. Google Pixel is the nice one, the one that's a work of engineering, right, that tries to compete with Apple's industrial design. I've never seen one, so I don't really know how well it competes with Apple's industrial design. But, it's, you know, it's $1,500 or $1,499 or something like that. And that's a lot of dough to drop on for someone like me wondering if I want a Chromebook versus a Mac, right? So yeah, the HP is probably the
there's the list of stuff,
the best, most reasonable
like on Amazon. So I mean, yeah, the HP for $212 is not a bad price. Or you know, the Samsung is $229, and that looks like that's only 11-inch. But the HP has it's the 14. It's only $200. 14-inch. It's a nice screen. But
I think that price is the refurbished price, or the used price, or something. The new ones are, I think, it's like $329, $349, something like that.
Okay. But, you know, it makes me consider, though, I get a pretty cheap Dell that can watch videos and stuff for close to that price.
I'll check see if the Chromebooks can watch, like, well, that's the thing. You're not really going to be able to connect to a local network share and stuff like that, right? So that's probably, unless there's Chrome apps to help you do that.
Yeah, I don't know. And I may be able to, through some of the thing in my company, be able to find, I know there's ways to get cheaper computers and stuff like that, so who knows. Anyway, that's my computer issues. Wanted to talk about Blaster Master. I was trying to tell you to, you know, watch this game, and you thought it was Master Blaster, so you didn't
find it. I actually tried to play it earlier today. I couldn't find it. I thought I had it on my Xbox, my modded Xbox, and I looked under Nintendo and Super Nintendo under Master. Not there. Because it was Blaster Master.
Blaster Master.
We talked about this last week, about best music in an
NES game. NES one of the better pieces of music, one of the better orchestrations in an NES game. Now, you heard it. It was a level one thing. But what I loved about the game, because I knew it was ridiculous even when I had it as a kid, was the opening scene. Because it shows, first of all, goes, you know, Blaster Master on screen, blah, blah, blah. And then it does this sort of anime-like slideshow thing. So at first it shows a kid with his frog in a jar. In a jar, yeah. And then it shows the kid reaching out. He's kind of buff, too. The kid is kind of buff, actually. He's getting, like, it's a cut-off shirt. He's got a little stuff. But he's reaching out as his frog is jumping away. Then it shows what looks to be, from what I remember, and, you know, it was written... reinforced by what I saw, basically just the kid's front yard, and the frog is jumping towards a radioactive canister that is...
The way I saw that slide was garage / backyard / dad, like Uncle Morty's scientific garage, you know, like his lab, you know, that kind of thing, like with his garage where he's doing invention stuff. So it's a little more plausible that there's a radioactive canister out back.
Well, keep in mind, it's anime, it's sort of Japanese, so you know, they have the whole radiation thing in their culture, so it just happened to be a radioactive canister that was there, and the frog jumps on it, and there's a little sort of cutscene sort of thing where the frog starts to grow to enormous size, and then it goes down a pit, and the kid jumps down the pit and lands, and you find some sort of tank-like thing in there. And the next scene is him with a whole uniform and a helmet just ready to get in and find his frog with the tank.
Okay, so let's go through the storytelling steps for these slides. How about that?
Okay, well, this is really... This is not the story, but this is the introduction. This is you're getting to know, you know, what are the circumstances.
Well, but and it's more than an introduction.
It's more just an introduction because you obviously you get to know, and then you have the call to adventure, which is
jumping really, in the hole.
The call to adventure is actually is his frog going down the hole. That's right. The call. And then crossing the threshold is when he falls down the hole, and there's the tank. So, and then you play the rest.
Where's the goddess at?
So the goddess is probably, you know, as the goddess is part of the game. It's really, it's the game is the road of trials and meeting with the goddess in terms of getting your power-ups and things like that.
Right.
And then your atonement with the father is probably fighting all the bosses.
Right. Nice. Yeah, so yeah. It was I like his whole, hey, I'm in a hole with the tank. That's my identity now. Let's put on the suit.
That's the reality.
That's what I do.
Oh well.
I'm gonna take this tank into the unknown and find my frog.
Does
he find the frog at the end?
Yes. Okay. Yes he does. I think I never finished it. It's a really hard game. But I believe, you know, I've watched, you know, on YouTube and whatever, they have videos of things like that. And I do believe that he gets his frog back in the end. There's maybe like one or two images or something.
Is it a giant frog or a small frog?
I believe it's a small frog. Okay. Yeah. Remember, it's an NES game. It didn't have a lot of space for shit, so it's not like they had a whole lot of stuff to put in there. But yeah. Okay. More stuff I want to talk about. I have lots of stuff on my list, unless you have things to get to.
Just the whole cover song thing.
That's true. Well, should we save that to after?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, okay. There was a tweet that I'd posted actually before Saver. It was something that the QI people had posted. QI is a television show in Britain. But they posted a link to a grammar site thing that... The thing was, it reminded me a little bit of the Buffalo eight times, but this is the sentence, I never said she stole my money.
Okay.
Can be interpreted seven different ways based on what word you put emphasis on.
Okay.
So, I never said she stole my money. 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 I never said she stole my money.
I think a couple of those mean the same thing.
Well, it can be interpreted different ways, right? So, I mean, but... technically, you could say, no, they all sort of mean something slightly different. But I bet you could do that for a lot of sentences. Mm-hmm. Like the QI people said, when they posted, they said... This got us thinking. This got us thinking. This got us thinking. This got us thinking. And sort of, see, you could do that. With
like when you put an emphasis on, I never said she stole my money.
Yeah.
It's kind of innuendo or something like, like, you know, but when you.
The implication is that she stole something, but not your money.
Right.
If it's on the six word, I never said my money, then the implication is he's stealing money, but not your money.
Right.
If it's on stole, well, your money is somehow gone based on the implication, but you never said she stole it.
Right.
Maybe she spent it, right? I never said she stole my money. You're not saying it's necessarily about her. Mm-hmm. Someone stole your money. I never said she stole my money. Well, I never actually said it. I didn't say it out loud. I just implied it. I never said she stole my money. I didn't say it. Mm-hmm. I probably don't believe it. Or I never said she stole my money. You didn't hear it from me.
Right, right.
So there's...
And I never...
That was the second one. That was...
Oh, okay.
I never said she stole my money. That's... I believe that's... You could interpret that as, I never said she stole my money. Look, I didn't say it. And like I said, probably I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. One of those interesting little things. Talked a little bit on Twitter about medium form Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about that last time, even though...
I thought we did.
No. Yeah. We talked about proper use of Twitter, but we never actually brought up the whole Medium form, which I think is a cool way to use Twitter. I think it's turning into that. You see people post things that are two or three things long. I mean, you're still forced to compress your idea because you only have so much space. But you can get more across. Yeah, I think there's a limit to how many tweets you can have in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think three, you know, at most four, but probably three is the best. But you can express an interesting idea that way. And I think people are okay with that. It doesn't seem like spam as long as you don't overuse it. I'm pretty sure
we talked about this, or didn't we?
I don't.
Almost certainly did. My point of view is I less like... I don't hate them, right? But I less like a three-part tweet. Like I said, I don't hate them. If there's a great reason to do it, I'm not going to say idiot, right? But, you know, I also see it overused where they could say it in less.
Yeah, no, it's sometimes there's only one way to get across an idea, you know, or a concept with more than just 162 letters. You're just kind of forced to. Sometimes people belabor the same point three times, and that's not using it correctly. You know, it's really if you need to expand on something. And I'm not saying I use it correctly all the time when I do it, but when I do,
I trolled Greg into tweeting a picture of his toilet.
Yeah, you did. You did. We didn't talk about that. You
I gave up on Foursquare.
Foursquare, that's right.
Because Foursquare did the most idiotic thing I could imagine, right? You can't check in from the Foursquare app. Now you have to have a second app called Swarm. And I get the point of Swarm. Swarm is based around finding people, your friends near you. I don't have enough friends. I am not near enough people.
Yeah, it seems like it's more for kids and, you know, teens and kids in their 20s and stuff like that.
So you have to check in there. And if you're in Swarm, it's all oriented around friends that are near you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to find the opposite, well, the way I like to use Foursquare is to find nearby businesses or to see what people are saying about a business, things like that, right? Or just how many times I've checked in at this business, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that from the Swarm app. You have to go back to the Foursquare app.
I mean, I had no problem with Foursquare as a concept. My only problem was that it was spamming Twitter.
Right.
With stuff like, you know, Jeff Bear has checked into here. And it's like, you know, unless Jeff is inviting me somewhere, which we're not doing all the time. You're just saying, you know, I'm here. There are 18 other people here, whatever. You did it at Disney World. I'm checking in at Disney World.
It's like, did I really tweet that one?
Yes, you did.
I'm usually, so, I mean, usually I was very particular when I would tweet.
I remember being weird because it was like, you were checking in Disney World and there were 18 other people there. And I was like, it didn't cross my mind at first. There's only 18 people. It's just like, no, 18 other people checked in at Disney World.
Right, right. So I would typically I would only tweet check-ins that were beer-related things like that. Just still too much for Greg. So I tweeted that I was giving up Foursquare.
I didn't realize that what you can do is you can actually mute a hashtag. So I could have just muted anything, you know, Foursquare. Mm-hmm.
So then that day I went down to the Pittsburgh Public Market and had some Pittsburgh taco truck. You had some East End Brewing beer, whatnot. So it was like ripe for a Foursquare type thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I tweeted it and I hashtagged it with Annoying Greg.
Yeah.
You
tweeted you're no longer using Foursquare anymore. It's something like Greg will be happy.
Greg approves.
Yeah, Greg approves.
Or Greg will be pleased is what I said.
Right. And I said, I'm not so much pleased as less annoyed. And then we got into something where I forget, was it Jason who said something or was it Jamie? Let's take a look. Let's take a look.
It was either Mark or Jason.
Kevin Mark, yeah. All right.
How'd that one tie in? I mean, that's what trolled you into doing the whole toilet thing.
But it was Jason, I think. No, what's it here?
Jason was the one where you expressed that your opinions were valid and right.
It was Jamie. Jamie. Okay. So, well, that was a joke, obviously, that tweet. So I said, not so much pleased, less annoyed. I forget what then happened. Oh, then you did a thing about annoying me by posting where you are. And so I said, all right, I'm sitting in my chair at work right now. Later, I may take a dump. I'll tweet that too. Got to keep you informed.
So Jamie jumped in, I think.
Jamie jumped in, and I said, you know, he asked about the toilet paper, and I said, let me check, and hashtag Twitter shitter, because that was fun. Uh-huh. And then I think I tweeted my exact coordinates at my work desk.
Actually, I plugged those into Google, and it was a back alley near where you work, but it was in a residential area. It was someone's garage. Well,
it was whatever the compass showed mm-hmm. on my, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it was, and then later on, I'm at work toilet number one.
That was funny. I actually took your coordinates and plugged them into Google to see where it mm-hmm. was. It was nearby, but yeah. Like I said, it was a back alley with a garage.
So, and then Demon Beer said Game of Thrones, because it's a throne.
Right.
And I said, you poop or you die.
That's Dave from the UK, who was also tickled that we talked about him last week. So,
okay. That's enough Twitter stuff. Let's talk about the universe. Did you see that? Let me talk about something first, before that. Talk about two YouTube videos that I try to get you to watch. The first one was a Comedy Bang Bang related video, which I tried to get you to watch like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I didn't watch it yet.
You fucker.
Here, I'll pull it up right now.
All right, pause then and watch it.
Finding the pause button.
Okay, so that video was technicality no, not boo over.
Technicality no. Down, boo over.
What I loved about that was, first of all, I mean, it reminds me sort of some of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. We're just having fun. It was also like Hoffman was so quick when Scott Aukerman just like technicality no down boo over. Paul goes technicality no down boo over, and
he's like, I just made a meme.
Yeah, and they just kind of they latched onto it and kind of realized it was funny, and then they just sort of kept repeating mm-hmm. it later on. And you could tell there was a sort of a palpable joy in what you're hearing, because you hear them just enjoying themselves and pulling that out at certain times. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's been.
So they did that on At Midnight. They had a thing where Paul Tompkins beat Scott Aukerman, and then Scott Aukerman goes, technicality, no, not boo over. Technicality, no doubt, boo over. And they just kept going back and forth.
On TV,
yeah.
No one's heard this.
See, no one knows what the hell it's about, but it's just hilarious. They're doing
that's
it.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing was a really good video by Veritas, which is one of the science guys mm-hmm. on thinking about information, randomness, and entropy.
I would have watched that one. Yeah. I remember that link.
So it was Veritas and... damn it, what's the other guy? Vsauce. Together, they were doing sort of a thing. And really some interesting stuff about that I haven't read much about information theory, Claude Shannon, but there's some interesting stuff about it. How, okay, what is the most entropy you can have? Or what is the most randomness is actually the most information in a weird way. The idea is, okay, when you think about compressing something, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to compress something, it's you find the patterns, and you take those patterns, you turn it into something. Well, when something is fully compressed, when it can't be compressed anymore, the reason is because there's no pattern defined in it. Right. So therefore, it's random. The only way to actually send that information is to send the whole piece of information.
Yes and no. I know what you're saying. Can't be compressed anymore because the patterns are gone. It's not random because it has to be able to be keyed to be decompressed, right? So,
well,
I get what you're saying, yes.
From an information
but what I'm saying
standpoint,
is something that's completely random has the most information.
Right.
But because there's the most bits of data, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it? How's it information if it's random? If it's nonsense.
Another thing that he showed as an example is a video, right? When you're doing a video, mm-hmm. most of the data repeats pixel to pixel, right? So you can compress it relatively easily, pretty significantly now with stuff they have. But if you just do a random video, a true random video is noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's just white noise. That can't be compressed.
Right.
There's no pattern there. So in a weird way, maximal information is randomness.
Yes, but it's not ordered information, right?
It's so not it's useless. Not ordered, but that's another way of saying mm-hmm. it's unordered, which means entropy.
Okay.
So maximal information is also maximal entropy.
Or is a way of saying, yeah, that's kind of, oh, it's using information in a term that almost no one would consider, right? So trying to say that's going to give people the wrong impression by saying it that way.
But it's has the advantage of being true.
Just because it's true doesn't mean it's a good way to explain something.
Well, they do a much better job in the video than I'm doing of explaining it now. But the idea is that information is actually increasing over time in the universe. And it would have to be for us to have any concept of time changing. If information stayed the same, right? If, mm-hmm. if you could predict one, you know, from one part of the universe, what the other part of the universe would be, you know, or from time A, what things would be at time B, the information would have to stay the same. But that's not what we see. We see that information increases in the universe and entropy increases in the universe.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just, you know, be careful how you explain that, especially by using information, a term that is...
This is purely...
So, I know, but...
I'm purely going by information theory, Claude, you know...
Understood. Understood, but you're talking to lay people.
Yes.
And... you might be able to get them to buy into that information doesn't need to be ordered information.
Right.
But when you say maximum information is maximum entropy, you're stepping too far away and most people aren't going to get the right.
Watch the Veritas video. I think you'll they do a great job of explaining it. The visuals are great and how they explain it. And he also explains where he thinks it's coming from. And he thinks it's coming from quantum mechanics, the more information, because everything is probabilistic.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there is a period of where we don't have information, then we do get more information as things happen. So that's an interesting way to look at it. So I wanted to delve from that into the concept of... I don't want to belabor the point. I certainly don't understand it as well as I should to talk about it on this length, but I do want to bring up something about the Higgs and why it's weird.
Can we save those for later? I want to get into these beers before they warm up too much.
Why, are they already warming up?
They're almost 60 degrees already. Well, we're drinking like Pilsners and stuff.
Oh, man. Let me just finish. Let me just do this thought. Okay. It'll take at most 5 minutes. Okay. So the interesting thing, and I'm not sure whether it's an artifact of the math that we use or some sort of way that we look at things and we're reasoning by analogy, but it appears that everything in the universe has some sort of intrinsic spin or rotation to it. It's usually referred to as angular momentum. You know, we notice it in planets and stars and black holes and other things. We also notice it in the very fundamental particles that are out there. Everything has some kind of spin to it. And remember that all the particles are just fluctuations in fields. So those are just spinning. The weird thing about the Higgs is that the Higgs is... And the reason why people were sort of like, this doesn't seem natural. The math for the Higgs says the Higgs doesn't spin. Sort of seemed artificial. That's why people were kind of hoping that if there was something that you know, maybe things were a little bit wrong, because it kind of seems artificial slapping that onto the universe where everything else spins. But we found it. It's there. So something interesting is definitely happening. But when you look at the properties of the Higgs, for reasons I don't really understand, I will admit, the Higgs is apparently on... If it were to be perfectly fitting with everything that we understand, it would be a lower mass. Or if it were to fit with something... Well, actually, no, it should have been a higher mass. But if it were to fix it with something like supersymmetry, it would have been a lower mass. But it's really in a weird space, apparently. The Higgs at 125 GeV is another thing that really seems unnatural. It seems as if it's kind of balanced on a razor's edge. Like, it could fall at any point, and then everything would change about the universe if that were to happen. So there's clearly something that we're missing. Because it doesn't seem like you could just have this thing on a razor's edge for 3.8 billion years. It seems like this would be the kind of thing that falls away immediately, you know, kind of like inflation did. Inflation, you know, lasted for a tiny percentage of a second mm-hmm. before it collapsed. And actually, which that's another weird thing, because according to the mathematics of inflation should go on forever. But there was a symmetry that got broken, we don't quite know how, and it poof and stopped, if inflation is correct. Bunch of weird mm-hmm. things going on. Right. So it's cool just to be like, yeah, we're discovering lots of really interesting things, but they're all telling us that there's something that we're not seeing. And you can also see that in dark matter and dark energy, these things that we just mm-hmm. don't understand, which are causing these really weird things right. to happen in the universe. So the we're on the precipice, I think, of figuring out more, and we're going to open up a whole lot of doors. But we're in a Ptolemaic age, or we're in a Copernican age, where we have a kind of understanding of what's going on, but really don't understand the other stuff behind it. I think it's very interesting where we're at.
Yep, I think it's cool.
All right.
Didn't know that about the Higgs, and yeah, definitely. Like you said, definitely seems like it's rather convenient.
Yeah.
That it's that unlikely. You know, it's like we found it, but the information we found is
doesn't.
I mean, it's like right. You know, it sounds like it's the most unlikely.
Yeah.
Of the scenarios is right. What we found. It's like, what, really? So.